Well, again, church, good morning. I think it's clear that the Holy Spirit is already moving today. And I'll tell you what, there were some words there in Maddie's song that said, hey, this is not our home. This is not where you and I are going to end up. But we've got to pass through these times to get to that time. And I'll tell you what, there's hope in Jesus. And that's why we're here. We come to worship on Sunday morning, to gather together, and to help one another. And that's why we're here. And I tell you what, when you see God moving and you see these young people do what they do, I tell you what, it gives you excitement. I remember one time standing in the back of the church, and I come in, and the youth were up here singing, and I looked over at Brother Joe, and I said, hey, Brother Joe, I said, I tell you what, to let you know, there's still hope for America. And he stopped me, and he said, no, they are the hope for America.
Amen.
And we see young people do these things. Look, when I was their age, and if I were to get, I'd melt. Scared to death. Still am. Still am, but here I am. And I tell you what, God's moving here today, and I'm excited to be here. I'm glad to see you this morning. And hey, I'm glad to be here with you this morning. But what we see today is we see all kinds of things that's going through the world right now. And look, we live in a crazy place, folks. It's not like it used to be. It's not like it used to be. And I tell you why it gives me fear. Because you and I are going to experience so much. But how much are they going to experience? Now, let me tell you, I am the youth pastor here. Most of you know that. But we are generally kind of a crazy kind of person. And yes, I am that guy. Sometimes I'm a little weird. And sometimes I get down there and I start to spend more time with them than I do with people like you. And I begin to act like them. And that can be spooky sometimes when an old man tries to act like a young man. Let me tell you, the other day, one of the young people out here, right over here, I won't mention his name, Matthew Holcomb. We were out there and we were going out for passes, right? You know, throwing the football. And Matthew and I would run out there, and he told me, he said, Alan, I got you. He said, you can't beat me. I said, oh, yes, I can. So look, I beat him. I did. And he ran back to the huddle. I did not. I walked gingerly. Back like this, and I thought, I began to pray, Lord, don't let me hurt tomorrow. Because I knew there was a possibility of that happening, but this is what we've got today's world. You know, I could come in here and enjoy the time in God's house and enjoy all the things that go on, but not everybody wants that in their life. But you got to understand how they got there, and that we are supposed to love them. We're supposed to love them and be the example, because let's be real. We may be the only Jesus they've ever seen. We may be the only one. So the truth is, people today are hungry for God. They're hungry for God. But they don't always know exactly how to get there. People are trying to raise families and hold a job and plan for retirement. And let's face it, there's more people today going back to school to learn at an age that's far past college age kids to get an education to help them in life. And I'll tell you, an education will help you in life. But nothing is going to help you like the presence of God. Nothing will. There's nothing out there. You can get every bit of education you've ever wanted. But it just don't matter if you don't have the Lord. And because that's what we're seeing a world where people are looking for guidance. They're looking for truth. And most of all, they're looking for God's mercy. They're looking for mercy from God. And there's a danger when that's what they're looking for and they're finding something else sometimes. And let me tell you what I mean by that. People are looking for mercy from God and they're rambling all around. What they find is there's opposition out there. There's opposition out there. And do you guys remember when we went to Fields of Faith the other night? There was a common theme. There was one verse of Scripture that went with the whole thing. And it was John 10:10. And John 10:10 says something like this. It said that Satan has one purpose here. One purpose. He came to steal. Does anybody remember? To kill and destroy. And that's all he's here to do. And all he's here to do is mess us up. And when people today are coming in, they're looking for mercy from God. And what they're finding is that Satan is involved, trying to keep them from it. And not only do they get that, what else they get is acceptance from other people that maybe they shouldn't be getting. And I'm gonna elaborate on that just a little bit. You know, there's a whole lot of things out there to offer, but it's not all good stuff. Not everything's good stuff. And if somebody goes out there and they're trying to live life and they do it without the Holy Spirit, who's there to guide them? Just themselves. Just themselves. And you know, people begin to be rooted in their life without the Lord, and then somebody comes along and says, have you ever told you about Jesus? And what we would hope is that they would respond. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't, and they begin to pretend that the way that they're living life right then is the right way. After time goes by, some of you know what I'm talking about. The pretending gets old. You can't pretend anymore. Pretending's not working anymore. Then it becomes that you just simply have to accept it as fact. This is the way I am. Well, that's danger to that too. I think today one of the things that we see, and we're going to talk about a little bit today, is the biggest part of this world is willing to do anything that they can possibly think of to be right versus doing right. You know, nobody wants to be wrong. You know, have anybody ever had a teenager in your house? Teenagers ain't never wrong, ever. I remember when I was a teenager, and I wasn't wrong either. I was going to be right all the time. Even when I was wrong. But let me tell you, folks, Jesus offers something entirely different. Like I was talking about Sister Darla this morning, you know, there's a model for you and I. There's a model for you and I to live by. And she started with them young boys and girls in that room this morning, but there's a model for you and me. There's a model for every person in this world. See, this is the thing. As Christians, we're not in search of the truth. We got it. We have the truth. The truth is right here. The truth is right here. Why do we have it? Because what Jesus did on the cross. We've got the truth. We've got God's word. And this is what I need. This is where I need my understanding. Like I said, an education's not a bad thing. But without Jesus, it's not worth anything. And I remember when I had to come to that. When so many people are in my life, and I was one of them. It would be really, really quick to tell you exactly how it was. Let me tell you how it is. You know what I'm talking about. But now my speech has changed. When I want to tell somebody what it is, I tell them like this. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by the blood spilt on that cross. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way that I'll ever be saved is my faith through His grace and what He did for me. And there's nothing else. So when I get all excited and want to tell, let's face it, folks, sometimes we won't tell people how it is. That's just true. Let's just tell them about Jesus instead. But God's grace and mercy are enough for me. But I want to get started this morning. If you would, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read the first 10 verses. And I'll tell you, if you want to look at a mistake that I've been making here recently, one of our sound guys up here told me that I walk that way too much and that I need to spend more time walking this way. So if you'll catch me today, I've already done it like 5 times, and I think I went that way once. I'm overcompensating. So if you want to keep an eye on me to make sure I don't keep going that way. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, I want to read. It says, but of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. In other words, you're familiar with the things that are going on. You understand them. It says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and for they that are drunken, be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet and hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Paul's speaking to the church at Thessalonica, and what he's telling him is, I just left you, and you're doing a good job, but I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. It's kind of like this. Why did I come in here? Because I'm looking for him. That's why you come in here. We're looking for him. I'm excited that you're here, but keep doing what you're doing, people. Keep serving God. Keep coming. Hey, look, sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I'm not excited. I hurt when I move. I'm not even 40 yet. I feel 70. And people say when I'm 70, they say, well, I feel 100. And I think, good grief, I'm not looking forward to getting older. But I do have the excitement to come in this church. I do have an excitement to be in God's presence. But whether we wake or we sleep is how we ended that scripture. And it's kind of like this. If we die before Jesus returns, let's die in Christ. Just like that. But if we're awake, let's be together in Christ. But either way, spend it in him. That's what he's saying there. And I want to go back and say this. Jesus is what Paul's talking about. There's a model life. There's a model life for you and I. There's a way that we're supposed to be. I believe, and I still believe this, and I've heard it said before, that if Christ dwells in you, that somebody's going to see it on the outside. He's got to shine through. And that's the way that it goes. So who should I model myself after? Obviously, we know that it's Christ. And that's what we're trying to do. But in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 6, the Bible says this. It says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You know, and I look at that and I think, man, I can't walk like Jesus. I can try. I can try. But see, God knows that. God knows that we can't do that. And what we've got here is we have to count on him and not ourselves to do so. You know, Christians are followers of Jesus, but it's not pretend. It's not a pretend thing. And as long as we're following Jesus as close as we can, you know, I believe that God's going to put his protecting hand out on us. Let me tell you why I say that. You know, Jesus said he's all about the Father's business in the Bible. He said, that's what I'm here for. You know, maybe you and I hope that we're all here to follow Jesus. We're going to do the same thing. We're trying to be the same way. I believe that God expects his children to listen to him and be led by the Holy Spirit. And if we're following as close as we can, hey, everything's going to be all right. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to walk this way now because I've walked that way a bunch. You know, the hard part is living and doing just like Jesus ought to. Do y'all see this young lady right here named Sarah? She is a great student. We love her. And she is afraid that I'm going to ask her to sing in front of people this morning. But I won't do that. And she's hiding herself. And she waved at me when we got started. Sarah, I'm glad you're here this morning. She is embarrassed this morning. But look, I can't walk the life. And I can't walk the walk that Jesus did. I can't do that. But because he did. Because he did. I have hope in him. And I have hope to know that one day I'll see him. But there's a model. There's a model that we've got to go by. And sometimes we get outside of that model and we look and we say, I failed. See, I can't walk like he did. I can't live exactly like he did. And look, I can't die the death he did. Why? Let me tell you, get this. Why can't I die that death? Because he's already done it. Yes, right. He died the death that I was supposed to. See, the model is not living perfectly. That's where people are so lost today, is they're looking for life to be perfect, but they can't make perfect. But he can. The model life is this. Surrendering to God and say, God, I'll do whatever you want. Lord, I'll let you live in my life. I'll walk in the steps that you've created. And yes, Lord, I have messed up. But that doesn't mean that I can't live the model. That's what that means. And as we move, what I want to go through is just three little short points right here. It's in the same book. If you would go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to go to the third verse. The third verse, it says this, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ inside of God, our Father. What Paul's saying, he's saying, hey, look, remembering everything that you've done, I see what you're doing. You're doing a great job, but don't forget the little things. Number one, Paul says, is the work of faith. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I'm afraid all of you will do it. But sometimes I get lazy, and I imagine you do too. And sometimes I don't want to work. Sometimes I don't want to cut the grass. Sometimes I don't want to do things like that. But you notice it's always easier when you're doing it for God. Why is that? I believe it's because the Holy Spirit has given you the strength and the guidance to do it. Over and over. And that's what Paul's telling him. And the reason that this church is successful is because there are lots of people in here that are willing to do God's work. Over and over. Look at the ministries in here. Brother Tom and I were talking earlier, and he goes to the prison and he ministers to prisoners. Can I tell you this? 12 people were saved this week. Look, when you got to get up and you're going to prison and you're doing it for the Lord, it's work. It's work. See, there's lots of people serving the Lord. But it's supposed to be that way. Why? Because I know He's coming. I know He's going to come back. You know, I've often wondered, will I be alive when Jesus comes back? I don't know. It would be very, very exciting to see. But either way, I'm going to spend eternity with Him. But while we're waiting on God, He has something for everybody to do. In the 32nd Psalm, Paul says this, talking about the Lord. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. And I've had conversations with some of you in here, and you say, well, I believe that God is speaking to me. I believe. I'm saved. I know the Lord, but He just don't have anything for me to do. That's not true. That's not true. Sometimes you just need a little guidance to get there. If you need something to do, let me tell you, Hiram First Baptist, we've got this thing called an administrator. And his name's Tommy Bruce. Thank you. Thank you. If you want something to do and you know God's leading you something, come see him. Amen. We got stuff. Yeah. We got things to do in here. And I'm excited about it. Yeah. But why do we work? We work for the Lord because there's no replacement for Him in our lives. There's no replacement. I tell you what, two Saturdays ago, and y'all don't make fun of me, okay? We got this thing called a sunshine group. And in order to be in the sunshine group, you got to be older than me. But I like those people. So they got out here, and they got some guitars, and they played, and Brother Joe played, and Kendra sang, and Brother Rick Richardson played and sang, and did a great job. And let me tell you, if you want good food, the older crowd's got the better food, just telling you. Yeah. They made food, and I enjoyed it. We got out here, and we sang, and we worshiped, and we had a good... They had a raffle. There was gift certificates. Look, I don't necessarily fit that mold yet. I feel like I do. I don't fit in that group. But when Ken and Debbie Lamb, who's the one that put this together, when they come out and put that together, that was work. You can see God in their life. And I enjoyed the time. And I tell you what, the next time they have one, I believe it's in November. If you don't have anything to do, come on out. Have a good time. We did have a good time. In every way, honor God with our actions. And that's what they were doing. But second is labor of love. Now that's key. Notice that word labor. Sometimes labor of love is kind of, yeah, that can be fun. You know, it's always easy to be around people that love you back. But what about when they don't? What about when they don't love you back? And that's what Paul's telling them. He said, hey, you just keep pouring out love on all of them. But if you're like me, it's easy to be like that. But how about when they're not? Look at this. Love is more of an action than it's ever been a feeling. I can tell you that I love you all day long, but if I don't pull over when you run out of gas to help you out, it don't feel like I love you. Did you just see Brother Allen? He just passed me and I'm out of gas. He must not love me. See where I'm going? It's what we do. And you got to remember that God loves them just like He loves you. I had a woman tell me this week. I had a woman tell me that she's being led to a ministry. I said, okay, help me out. What do you mean by that? She said, I'm being led to a ministry where people may not be perfect, but God's showing me that I'm supposed to love them too because I'm not perfect either.
Absolutely. Amen.
Tell you what, God's working like that. God's working in a spot like that. You know, she's trying to love people and God's helping her love people. She hadn't always been able to love. I remember Tracy and I, we went on this youth rafting trip. Don't get any ideas, guys. I'm afraid of that kind of water. We wanted to go to this rafting trip, and there was probably 7 or 8 of us in the youth group, and this brother, Lon Bell, was a youth leader there. And I really like Lon Bell. And we went, and I was kind of stirring the pot a little bit, and I was laughing because I knew all of them were going to fall out, and I wasn't. So we went over about 3 or 4 humps, and guess who fell out? Me. And the youth leader. So we're out, and they're going downstream. And we swim over to this rock, and they paddle over. We're supposed to get to them. And we're standing on this rock that was, the water would splash on it every now and again, but the sunshine never hit it. You know what happens, right? That rock gets slick. And we're standing there, and this man was trying his best to love me, and I wasn't making it easy. I stood on that rock there, and I went to move to turn to speak, and my feet went straight up. And I hit on this part of my forearm, knocked a pretty good chunk out of it. Immediately it bled. And the next word that come out of my mouth was not a good one. And he looked down at me, and I looked up at him. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. But you know what he did? He didn't scold me. He didn't do anything to me that was out of line. He simply picked me up. He said, are you okay? And then he put his arm and said, it'll be all right. I wasn't easy to love right then, but he loved me anyway. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that's how God feels about us, even when we do stuff just like that. It said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just like we are. Just like we are. And the third point, on that side, is patience of hope. Patience. We're all blessed with patience, right? Yeah, maybe not. Sometimes patience is a little harder. I've often heard, don't pray for patience. God will give it to you the hard way. I don't know if I agree with that, but I understand where you're coming from. See, I don't always understand what's going on. I don't even understand always what's going on right here. How many times have we come in here for special events and things like that and there not be enough room to sit down? And we've all prayed and said, God, you got to do something. We don't have room. And we didn't know what God was going to do. Well, let me tell you what happened. There's 24.7 acres out behind us. It's ours now. I don't know what God's going to do. But I know we got the opportunity. And God put it together. See, God answers prayers. Sometimes we just got to be patient. We got to be patient because, hey, our hope's in Jesus. Jesus ain't back yet, but he's going to be. Like I said, I don't always understand, but I know. Now let's get back to that model thing. What Paul was trying to do is give these people to explain to them, keep doing what you're doing and keep looking and keep following the model, Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Paul mentioned some other things. He talks about the model church. Can I tell you guys that every church ain't like this? You know, every church don't have an altar. Every church don't have a choir that sounds like this. Every church does not necessarily mean, because the word church is in their name, that God's word will be preached from the pulpit. Sometimes it gets in there and it's that feel-good stuff where everything's accepted. Let me tell you, that's not the way Jesus does it. That's not the way that it's going to be. See, this church ain't run by the pastor. It ain't run by the deacons. It ain't run by a family. Let me tell you who it's run by. It's run by the Lord. It's run by, and as long as we're able to grab a hold to that, everything's going to be just fine. But when you get outside of those things, there starts to be danger. Like I said, there's plenty of people in this world that, hey, let me tell him how it is. Hey, easy. Let me tell you how it is. It's about him. It's not about me. See, this church is a place where Jesus is the focus. He's the center. He's the middle. He's all of it. Church where the word is preached. Let me tell you this. It's the place where people can find help. Somebody can come through that door, and that's what we're here to do. We got ministries all over this church, but specifically Celebrate Recovery. How many lives have been changed by God because of Celebrate Recovery? Right here. Where souls are being saved, lives are being changed, and a church that's about God's business. The next thing Paul speaks about is the model servant. He's talking about you and me. Sometimes that gets scary. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This is what Paul says. He says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because ye received the word of God which ye heard from us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as in its truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now remember earlier I said something. I said, I believe if a person is saved, that you're going to be able to see Jesus in their lives. That's expected. And the model servant's going to have that. But have you ever got to the point to where sometimes you say, hey, look, I just don't feel like I'm loving people enough, that I'm being kind enough? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand again because I'm afraid everybody will do it. But we're servants, right? I remember one time I was at work, and I've told this story before. There was a young man come in, and his clothes were dirty, and he probably didn't have very much. And his dad was with him. And what I do is I test cars at an emission stand. That's what I do all day. And this guy come in, and he brought me this old S10 pickup truck, and it had a 2.8 liter six-cylinder. Let me tell you, folks, that's a piece of junk. Them things aren't good, they don't run good, and they don't pass emissions. Rarely. And he brought it in, and he was excited about this truck. And I on the inside didn't have the same feeling about that truck. And we struggled to get to test it. And finally, believe it or not, we got it through and it passed. And this guy was excited. All right, and I'm still in my mind, I'm kind of chuckling about it. And I'm standing there and I'm getting ready to print out his paperwork and give it to him. And I hear his voice from the other side of the truck. He said, "Hey." I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's on fire." And I said, "What?" And I think, and I look and I see a little smoke. And because I know that this truck is not great, I walk around the truck and I look. And any mechanic in here is going to know that this is bad. There's a wiring harness that comes out of the cab, and it's on fire out there. That's bad. And he's freaking out, and I'm not. So I didn't exactly know what to do, and I walked back into the office there, and I grabbed some Windex, and I went outside. That's really all I had, and I said, fire went out. And I kind of chuckled, and I put the fire out with the Windex. I think this is glass cleaner, not extinguisher. And we get out, and he's kind of in a panic a little bit. And, you know, that truck meant something to him, but it didn't mean that much to me. And he sputtered that old truck out of there, and it ran, and it shut off in the parking lot out at the end. God began to get on me immediately because it meant something to him. That might have been the only thing he had. But I belittled it. I laughed at it. Maybe not out loud, but on the inside I did. What God was saying, what if I treated you like that? You know, he brought me everything he had and was excited about it. But what I was, I just wrote it off. I just wrote it off. Let me tell you, the model servant, it don't look like that. The model servant, what we do is we give God what we've got and let him use us. You know, I expect for God to be there when trouble comes in my life. That young man needed help when trouble came in his life. And I missed it. I missed it. But you know, God told us something. Jesus said these words. He said, this is how you'll know. This is how you'll know if you've got it right. In Mark 12, verse 30, Jesus says this. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." So how do we know that we've done it right? How do we know when we're going down the right road? When we love one another unconditionally. When there's not conditions on whether I can love you or not, or whether they can love me. That's the way you see Jesus. See, everything points back to Him if it's right. That's what Jesus did. Everything goes like that. Christians are supposed to be like that. I heard a pastor say this one time, and it troubled me. I was talking to him, and he was getting ready to preach a funeral. And I asked him, I said, the man that you're about to preach this funeral for, was he saved? He said, oh, yes, absolutely. I wouldn't preach this funeral if he wasn't. My heart hurt. I thought, good grief. What do you mean by that? I didn't have time to stop and ask him and really dig into it, but how about this? Whoever's in that casket right there is dead and gone. Their business with the Lord is happening right then. But how about the family? How about the family that's sitting out there and they're hurting and they need help? And we got to be very, very careful how we do that, because if we get selective about who we're going to share Jesus with, God will get very selective about how He speaks to us. And that's the last thing we want. In Romans 10:13, I can't help but think of the family. It says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What if you're the one that's going to bring Jesus to them? What if the Jesus they're going to find come through you? That's important. That's important. My purpose here is to serve and worship and fit the model, Jesus. How about this one, the model brother? You know, I think this is we're around a lot of people, and we don't always agree and think that the things that everybody else does is good. Sometimes we just don't like it. Ask my wife. Sometimes I come in the house with dirty shoes. Hey, she don't like that. She tells me, you're not supposed to do that. But we both love the Lord. But I believe as a pastor and as a deacon and anybody that serves in the church, you should expect them to do right. Today, there's all kinds out there, folks, let me tell you. I'm expected to do right, and I believe God expects us all to do right. See, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 7, it says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. Now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God. Paul was saying, hey, I'm happy because you're doing right. I'm excited. And I believe that you and I can have that same thing. Again, I told you earlier, we live in a crazy world. Recently, I was having a conversation with someone that I knew, and I know that some of you have been in this same conversation. Even Brother Bruce has been in this conversation, where you're standing there, and you're talking about Jesus and what He's done for you, but instead of it glorifying God, what it comes down to is who can be more right about God. Let me show you how much I know about the Lord. You know, and I'm going, man, Lord, help me out of this. I don't want to be here. And I'm standing there, and I'm having this conversation, and it's starting to get that way, and I'm looking for a way out, and a man walks by, and he goes all the way around the other side, and something I said caught his ear. And he turned around, and he said, thank you, brother, for that word. And I thought, I don't even remember what I said. And he come around the corner, and he went to shake my hand, and I could see his face. And this is a brother in Christ. I didn't know who it was. And he looked at me, and I asked him, I said, are you okay? And big tears started to just fill his eyes. And they started to run down his face. And I said, let's go outside. So I put my arm around him. And then, look, this is a big old fella too. I mean, he could mash me into a little ball. And these big tears are running down his face. And we go outside and I said, what's wrong? Can I help you? And he began to pour out the troubles that were in his life. And they were big. And they were life-changing. And what he was expecting me to do, because I spoke of the Lord, was to help him. And as his brother, that's what I'm there to do. And I'm trying to give him every single thing I got to help him. Point him towards Jesus. But again, I believe God expects that from us. Sometimes what we do, What we do is we just simply have to say, God, I don't know what to do, but Lord, just use me. God, I'm going to make myself available. Lord, I don't know what to do. Just help me. See, if we can get that right, I believe we'll see revival in America again. And I believe that you'll see God start to change us, change this place to like we know it's supposed to be. Truth is, with something like that, Satan don't stand a chance. He can come to kill, steal, destroy, anything he wants to do, but it won't matter. Because if we're all in the Lord, it's going to be all right. And the last piece is back to it like this, the model life. How are we going to get there? In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says it all right here. It says, for by grace, and you are saved through faith. In other words, I believe what he did on the cross was enough. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. He did it, not me. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, God made a way, and it's the best way. Truth is, everything good in us comes from him. I have a friend one time I was trying to minister to, and he was absolutely pushing back, and you know what I'm talking about. When you get that friend and you're trying to say, hey, God's got something for you. God can help you, and he's pushing back. And he's pushing back. But see, the problem was, he remembered me from when I was just a young boy. And he grew up with me. And I told him, I said, look, it's not about being perfect. I said, it's just about surrendering to God. You know what he said? He said, that don't mean much coming from you, Alan. I said, why? He said, because I know what you've done. He said, because we did it together. And I looked down and I thought, Lord, where did I miss it? How am I delivering this message incorrectly? The truth was, he wasn't going to come through them doors. Why? I don't think he realizes that God loves him. Because I don't believe I did a good enough job way back then to tell him that I love him. And today, to this day, he's still roaming out there. You can reach out to him. He's not interested. You try to tell him the model life. And he's got it in his mind that the model life is becoming right so he can come through them doors versus coming through the doors just like they are and get right down here and let God change you. He expected me to be perfect, and because I wasn't, in his eyes I had become a hypocrite. See, we've all got trouble today. Just like Brother Key said, everybody come through the doors with a little bit of trouble. We talked about the model church and the servant and the brother. But what do you do when life's not going the way you're supposed to and you don't feel like your life's in the model? Can I tell you, God knows you're not perfect? Do you know God still loves you? God still cares about you. This is what he said. What David said in Psalm 103, verse 13. It says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know, God understands. God knows. See, there's all kinds of trouble all over the house. Here's the thing. We're just trying to cover it up sometimes. Because we don't feel like, hey, if I'm going to be in the model life, I can't let other people know that I'm struggling. That I've got trouble. Maybe you got trouble. Maybe you've caused trouble. Maybe God's been speaking to you about it. But you know, there's an opportunity to do business with God. So if you would, I'd like you to stand to your feet. Then here's the thing. We're trying to live the model life, and the model life's not about being right. It's about doing right. And church, these altars are open from the beginning of the service. You never have to wait to come down here. But I can tell you this. If you want to do business with God, it is going to require a little bit of action on your part. You got to be bold enough to say, Lord, I believe that you've got the answers and that you'll help me. And I'm willing to step out and go talk to you. Because again, God loves you. God's looking for you. God knows the trouble before you get there. So how do I do that? How do I get to that place in my life, Brother Allen? Let me tell you. You got to be willing to talk to him. You got to be willing to come right down here and do business with God. So if God's speaking to your heart today, there's a burden on your heart. The altars are open.